Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to see you all. And the Zendo feels wonderful. I know that you were sitting Rohatsu Sesshin with us every morning and every evening. How many of you participated in special Rohatsu sittings here this week? And Peter, what is your name?
Ron.
What is it?
Ron.
Ron? Oh, you're not the person I thought was coming today. But I'm glad you're here. So we have post-Rohatsu. Glorious morning. As you know, many of you were aware that I had injured myself sometime some months ago and then re-injured my knee when I sprained my ankle just before Thanksgiving. So I was limping around with a cane and my knee was really swollen and it seemed to be getting worse. And I was so discouraged right before Rohatsu. What am I going to do? So I kept going to various practitioners, you know, acupuncture, moxa, as Hakuin Zenji did, then chiropractic, electrical stimulation, then a lymph clearing person. She was wonderful, lymph clearing. But still, my knee was swollen and I couldn't walk. So finally, Monday, I called Roshi and I said, it's really bad. I don't know how I don't think I can come to Rohatsu. He said, oh. I said, well, you know, I can barely walk. I can't kneel no matter what. I can't kneel. I can't. How can I eat? I can't do meals. Doksan, I can't kneel. Walking in the halls, I can barely walk. What am I going to do? Never mind sitting. He said, let me think about it. I'll call you tomorrow. This was Tuesday, so I was here. So I called, and he said, well, you can sit in a chair. So I was so happy. You know, I figured, well, if that's what he has in mind, then anything's possible. I don't need to sit in a chair. I don't have to worry about kneeling or eating. Or anything. I have dispensation. I can just go to Rohatsu no matter what. Which is really what Rohatsu is, no matter what. So before we hung up, I said to him, I'm so happy. Even on my deathbed, I will attend Rohatsu. I don't know where that came from, but it just kind of came. And so I went. And, you know, I was still using a cane when I got there. And the first day in the halls was very difficult because you're always walking down these long halls to go from the Zendo to the dining room and to Doksan. And it seemed in my mind that it was going to be very difficult, but I found that once I started doing it, it was so easy because I could slide. I was just sliding down, you know, a little limping, but mostly sliding. And then the jishas were so wonderful. We arranged to have that wonderful little bench that I was using this morning for morning service and teisho set up. And this was the most pain-free Rohatsu I've ever done. Where, you know, it's like, no problem. Sitting like this, okay, no problem. And of course, we sit long and late, but somehow the mental resistance that is always a part of Rohatsu kind of preparation, along with packing the suitcase, is all this, going, oh my God, oh, we're going to be so tired. Oh, it's going to be so horrible. Oh, it's going to be so painful. You know, there's a lot of exhilaration and excitement, but mixed in is all this kind of, right? Yeah, some other stuff.
Dread.
Dread is a good word. And I was just so happy. You know, it was like, oh, I can't go to Ratsu this year. Oh, no. And then, oh, I can go. So it was a completely different mindset. And that in itself, of course, started a healing process. Our minds are so, we just don't have a clue, even though we say it all the time. Our mind is so powerful. And what we are doing with our negative cogitation has such a strong influence on everything in our lives. If you have a problem, it's your mind. Nothing else. So, change it. It's that simple. And I know of no better way to change your mind than going to Rohatsu. Right now, in your calendar for next year, put it in. You'll find life presents you with all kinds of reasons why you can't go. Just as I had. Good reasons. Oh, I don't have to do Rohatsu this year. But then as soon as I said that, I was so depressed. It's really important that we do. Why particularly Rohatsu? Of course, you know, as many sessions as you can manage. If you are a Zen practitioner, there is no question about it. It's just a given. You do session. That's what Zen practice is. What we do day in and day out is to keep that fire lit. But we have to do session. This kind of experience, this intensification of our practice and clearing of our mind and body, heart, soul, spirit, whatever word you want to use, doesn't matter, it's all the same. Just this clearing is essential. Why? Because otherwise you're walking around in this kind of ball of misery. And why is that a problem? Well, because everyone suffers. Everyone you know suffers because of your... There's enough suffering in the world. We don't need to add to it. We need to do something quite different, right? Quite different from adding to suffering, right? Yes. So you have to come out of your own little self-pitying prison cell that you've created. No one else puts you there. And why, particularly, why Rohatsu? Sometimes called the king of sessions. Oh, session. Great. Oh, session. Dai session. D-A-I, but also D-I-E. This is also very important at DBZ for Rohatsu. On one side of the altar is a scroll by Suan Roshi that says, wonderful. On the other side of the altar is a scroll by Suan Roshi that says, death. To die. Die on the cushion. Dai session. Or as Shido Bunan Zenji said, while alive, be a dead person, thoroughly dead, and all will be well. In this great death, we finally come alive. Everything else is just kind of halfway measures, to lead a life of such halfway measures, is truly the most depressing thing I can think about. So why this raw session, this oh session, this die session in particular, of all session of the year, this one? So as you know, if you've been, it is a session of great extremity. As you know from hearing about it, if you haven't been, we sit later and later each night. So, you know, you don't get much sleep, maybe 3 hours, maybe an hour and a half or two the last night. And the more each day unfolds, the more awake you feel. We are all firmly convinced that, you know, the sleep deprivation is a serious matter. Well, if you're an air traffic controller, yeah, it is. If what you're doing when you're not sleeping is filled with nothing but stress and tension, then you better get that sleep. We're all depending on you. Driving, whatever, requires. But when you're sitting, something else happens. And in fact, they've done, you know, they love to do these studies and, you know, electrodes and everything. And actually have discovered that the brain goes into this whatever, alpha wave or something, condition in zazen, in meditation, that is so thoroughly restorative in a way that sleep isn't. Much more restorative than sleep. And the more we sit, the more these days, these long days go by, the faster they flow by. They just seem to go like that, just one after the other. Just had breakfast, now it's already time for supper. I don't understand what happened. Time disappears. So there is a koan, case 86 of the Blue Cliff Record, called Umon's Everybody Has His or Her Own Light, which some of you may be familiar with. And very, just focusing on the main subject, Umon addressed the assembly and said, everybody, all of you, each one of you has your own light. So what's another way of putting that, that we're familiar with?
You are the light.
Ah, tadipa, right? We didn't sing it this morning because we had Hakuin's memorial service, but ordinarily for morning service we start with Atadipa, you are the light. You have your own light. Then Umon said, if you try to see it, everything is darkness. If you try to see your own light, to ascertain whether it's there, check it out, take the pulse, then darkness. Why? What happens? If you try to see your own light, what happens?
Separating from it.
You are separating from it. So observing yourself, as you said, becoming an observer, separating from. If you try to see it, everything is darkness. Then, he asked, what is your own light? You can't see it. What is it? And very typically, Umon answered in place of his disciples, and he said, the halls and the gate. To which you may say, huh? The halls and the gate. What kind of answer is this? What would you say about this answer? What characterizes this answer?
It's ordinary. It's ordinary.
Very ordinary. What about the halls and the gate? What's he tell us about the halls and the gate? This is not a trick question. What does he say about the halls and the gate? Okay.
You must travel.
He says what? What does he say about the halls and the gate?
You and they are not separate.
Does he?
You are they. They are you. You are not.
Is that what he says? I don't think so. What does he say about the halls and the gate?
Doesn't really say anything about that.
Exactly. Could you say that louder? What does he say about them?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. Exactly. And again, he said, something, no matter how wonderful, is never better than nothing. Never better than nothing. This nothing is what?
Everything.
Your own light. Everything. Absolutely nothing is lacking. Nothing is superfluous. This is what Ensu's name means one way. Absolutely nothing to add. There is nothing that is too much in this radiant stillness with the sound of dripping icicles melting. Everything is pervaded. Thoroughly pervaded with nothing. This is why we go to Rohatsu, to experience this. You know yourself, just look at the past 24 hours. How much of the past 24 hours have you been able to taste nothing, to be free of all the chatter, all the concerns, all the stress of day to day, samsaric existence. Even this morning's wonderful sitting, how much of it was free of congestion? Anybody? Not much. And this is not in any way to suggest that, therefore, you are a failure at Zen practice. You may interpret it that way, and that would be truly unnecessary and something, again, added. The halls and the gate. Nothing added. Just vibrantly alive. Just glowing. But to say glowing is already too much. And to say alive is already too much. And to say the halls and the gate is already too much. And to say you have your own life is already too much. In fact, nonetheless, we have to make this kind of circle with a starting point and following it and returning, lifting the brush. So, of course, I understand that there are many, many things that prevent people from attending Rohatsu DBZ. And we, of course, have to acknowledge such limitations this time in your life may not be possible. Okay. But if you can't go because of some chronic illness or because of someone you're caring for with a chronic illness or because you have little children or whatever the life circumstance that you may have, you must honor it. No one suggests that you throw over responsibilities that you must honor. But if you cannot, at least know that it is essential, that it is something you will do, and that at very least you will be here every morning and every evening for Rohat's sitting at Hoenji. How important that is to maintain and to deepen our vow as each member of Sangha here and universal Sangha everywhere. Must do. Of course, I haven't said anything about specific reason for Rohatsu session because I assume everyone understands Rohatsu, the eighth day, the morning that Shakyamuni Buddha, after all kinds of onslaughts, finally entered into such a profound samadhi that when he saw that morning star, great realization, and said, wonderful. All beings and I together. Are perfect and complete. The fact that we hear such a statement and feel doubt is a wonderful thing because it gives us determination, right? Determination to experience this for ourselves. We have so little time. What I blurted out to Edo Roshi about being on my deathbed and still attending Rohatsu, in a way we can say that's funny, but it's true, totally true. In my talk at DBZ, I joked about it, saying, well, the jishas have been, you know, carrying my bench around, but soon we'll have gurneys lined up as we all continue aging. This is so important. We have very little time. We must realize for ourselves, so when we say for ourselves, we are saying for all. After all, we're responsible for the way the world is today. Well, can't point any fingers. So, Rohatsu is a healing. I'm walking around without any limp right now, right? Well, partly it's because Jikyo was always bringing me these little microwaved heating pads for my knee at every rest period. She was wonderful. I didn't push beyond what I knew to be danger point. Yes, that's part of it, but certainly not all of it. Rohatsu Sesshin, deep, deep sitting, is a healing. When you feel, oh, I'm not in good shape. Oh, I have this bad heart. Oh, I can hardly stand up. Oh, how can I even go to morning sitting? I certainly can't go in the evening. Fine, you're sealing your fate. You're dying in increments and you're certainly not living. It's up to you. Anyway, every evening I was reading Master Hakuin's exhortations. And I wasn't reading Master Hakuin's exhortations. Every evening I would get ready to go into the Zendo with my little flashlight, this little book, and completely aware that I was channeling Master Hakuin, no doubt about it. Again, to clear away, clear away, clear away. There was no such thing as I reading. Over and over, Master Hakuin tells us about the breath. Over and over, he encourages us. I say, exhaust yourself. This is in our day-to-day way of seeing things. We feel somehow an oppressive thing to hear. What do you mean, exhaust myself? I have to keep a little self going here. I have to make sure I have a little bit of extra energy for, you know, tomorrow's office or whatever. How can I exhaust myself? I have to guard against, you know, keep a little bit of energy so that I can guard against losing all my energy so that I somehow get sick. This is so upside down. If you live that way, you will be sick, I promise you. No other way. But to really exhaust yourself, to exhaust all that tangled mess of karmic impediments and opinions and preferences and fears and anxieties, just to exhaust it all. Then what? Then truly, you have your own light. Wonderful. You are all beings. Wonderful. Perfect. As you are. Could not be more perfect. Could not be more complete.